It's time for another Castle Country Focus interview on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm Dave Hokanson. Joining me today over the telephone, I have Debbie Marvadakis. She is the Health Promotion Director for Health Programs with the Southeastern Utah Health Department. We're going to talk about their opioid program that they have in place there. There's a few different things that they can do for people, and some awareness, some education, and all kinds of information that people will need if they're having issues, or if even a loved one is having issues with opioids. Debbie, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you for having us and letting us share with the community some of the things that we're trying to accomplish with our opioid program.
Of course, of course. Now, you have a bunch of different layers and levels to your opioid programs, correct?
We do. It's multi-layered because we feel that by adding the different layers, we're able to address a comprehensive approach in our community. And one of the things that we started doing, I think in 2016, Dave, was the first time that the health department received funding for opioids. So since 1999, Carbon County had been red flagged for opioid overdose deaths, and there was just no funding available for it. So we worked inside the community, and with a lot of our community partners, we went to the legislation and talked to them about this issue that we have with opioids in Carbon County, and tried to make it known that in order to overcome any issue in a community, we need a program that's well-rounded, and we also need dollars to address it. So we were able to secure some funding through a couple of different grants, and we were also able to secure funding, legislative funding, to hire an opioid specialist. And our opioid specialist works in our program, Dave, full-time, 5 days a week, 8 hours a day. And we've had that position here at our health department for a couple of years now. And we really have noticed that with that program and partnerships that we've created in the community, that our opioid overdose deaths have started to drop.
Okay, and you were mentioning that Carbon County had been red flagged. Is there anything that you guys can look at and say, maybe this is a root cause, maybe this is a root cause, or anything like that? Or does it just, it's just like the next thing that's going on with drug use?
Well, I do think that there was a root cause, and I think that a lot of people will understand when I explain this. So when the big pharm, when the pharmacy companies were able to create opioids for pain relief, they worked, right? Opioids are very good at addressing people's pain, long-term pain, end-of-life pain, surgery pain. But what they didn't stop to consider or provide any education for, in my opinion, was that opioids are extremely addictive. Your body, Dave, does not know the difference between a prescription opioid and heroin. It perceives it the same. And back in the late 90s, early 80s, or early 2000s, people were being sent home with 90 days of opioids, and really 3 to 7 days, your body, no matter who we are, right, is dependent upon those opioids. And so imagine getting a prescription, finding yourself dependent on an opioid with no resources or education on how to wean yourself off of that. So you can see that problem with opioids changed the face of what we consider addiction. A lot of people have the stigma that addiction to opioids is just someone who is abusing them or snorting them or out on the streets using them. But the opioid epidemic has changed the face of that. And it's now our moms and our dads, our aunts and our uncles, and sadly even our children that have become addicted from opioids. No fault of their own. It's just the nature of the drug. So when we realize that, that now most states have sued Big Pharma for this opioid crisis that we find ourselves in.
And so you were saying that in around 2016 was probably the first time that you got funding for this, and that allowed you to start different programs within your opioid management and opioid information programs, correct?
Absolutely. And so that's a long time to wait, yes, from 1999 to 2016 to be able to secure funding to create a prevention program and to begin to educate our community on the dangers of opioids. But that's something that can't really look back on. We just have to look forward. And I think that we're really doing a pretty good job, Dave. I mean, we can always do better, right? Because one death or one overdose is way too many. But we have begun to reduce our opioid overdose deaths. And one of the things that we were able to do here at our health department is we have the Narcan program. And, you know, Narcan is just simply, it's a reversal for an opioid overdose. So when a person has overdosed from an opioid and we can administer Narcan to them, we're able to bring them out of that overdose and to get them to the hospital or to their doctor so that they can get the appropriate care that they need. And we've been doing Narcan here at our health department since 2016. We provide it free. We don't charge for it. We train folks on how to use it. It's surprisingly very simple to use. And I like to say that with our Narcan program, that the life you save is more than likely going to be someone that you love.
And that's very, very true. I've heard a couple of different stories about that. And so that was part of this funding in 2016, was part of that program. Are there any other programs that kind of filter into that?
Well, one of the things that we're doing here is we have, we've been doing media to try and educate the community. We've created flyers and billboards and radio ads. And believe it or not, Dave, what you're doing today in partnership with us is part of prevention, letting folks know that there is help out there and that there is hope and that there are alternatives for folks that are using opioids. And one of those alternatives was working with our physicians, and they've been so on board across the state to do a better job at educating folks on opioids and empowering people to choose the right medication when they go to their doctor.
Okay, and let's kind of wrap things up. You talked a bit about a harm reduction program. Let's talk about that.
So that's our controversial one. People have a lot of different opinions on harm reduction, but here at the health department, pretty much every program we do is harm reduction. So when we provide a car seat for someone and it's used properly, we reduce death should they get in a crash, right? That car seat keeps those kids safe. So one of the programs that we have here at the health department is we started in March, and that's harm reduction. Harm reduction is where we do HIV and Hep C testing free of charge, and then should someone test positive for that, we're able to link them up to free services. Because it's kind of interesting to me with hepatitis C, if you look at what we've been able to cure in this country for over the past 20, 30 years, it's not much. But we are able to cure hepatitis C in this country today, and we provide that service and the clinical treatment that folks need for that. And we provide it free because it's extremely expensive. It's like anywhere from $40,000 to $80,000 to be treated for Hep C. And we also, if someone tests positive for HIV, we're able to get them linked up to the services that they need to get on the medicines that they have, because contrary to popular opinion, HIV is no longer a death sentence. And we also provide recovery. We talked about this earlier when you and I first got on the phone. We provide resources for recovery because most folks don't start out using drugs and think that they're going to use them forever. And at one point in time, they want to go into recovery. For us, the problem with recovery is that we don't really have enough beds in the state. And the population that we serve in harm reduction is very vulnerable. So we might be able to get them into a bed today, but not tomorrow, and they won't be there tomorrow. So we're trying to work out different resources to improve that service for the folks that want it. And we actually have, surprisingly, sent many people into recovery. recovery just from our harm reduction program. We also provide clean syringes, and it's an exchange program. So if you provide me with 30 syringes that were used, I provide you with 30 syringes that are clean. And clean syringes reduce the harm associated with drug use, the health consequences like HIV and Hep C and other things that go along with that. We're pretty proud of that program. It is pretty controversial, and people often feel that folks that use inject drugs, we shouldn't be giving them clean syringes. But it isn't just a harm reduction program to reduce that, and we offer those other services as well. We probably, Dave, take in anywhere from 1,000 to 2,000 syringes a month, which for us, we think that that's 1,000 to 2,000 syringes off our street.
All right. Well, Debbie, if anybody has any information that they would need to get from you on any of these programs, how can they obtain that? What do they need to do?
Well, they can just call here at the health department and ask for myself, Debbie Marvidakis. You know our phone number here is 435-637-3671. And we have a great health promotion team. We can help you with car seats. If you want to quit smoking, we can help you with that. We can help you with diabetes. Anything that can help our community be healthy are the programs that we're working with here in the health department, not just the opiate program. But again, we have 26 programs that we're working on here to improve the health and wellness of the folks that we live with and share a community with.
All right. Debbie Marvidakis, the Health Promotion Director for Health Programs at the Southeastern Utah Health Department. Thank you so much for taking the time out today to talk to us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Dave. We appreciate you helping us with this.
Now, for more information on this interview, you can always go to our website, castlecountryradio.com, or listen for Castle Country Focus on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.